Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. And Kyle, we're starting right up. We are started. We were so depressed last week.
Yeah.
We talked ourselves into depression, really, throughout
the
episode.
Yeah, no, I mean, if it's really funny to have this episode right after last week, because, you know, last week we sort of started almost, I wouldn't even say we started upbeat, but we started out talking about the coaching search,
yeah,
as a matter of practicality, and like this could be happening. And you could feel the Bears, you could feel the Bears take over. The pain, and by the end of it, even if we didn't say it out loud, we both were like, they're gonna. I think we were already by the end of it. We were talking. I think we were both like, I've just accepted Mike McCarthy. This is where we're at.
I was fully prepared. I was getting ready to talk about Mike McCarthy. Like, yeah. I was like, and all right, next week, how are we going to, what kind of game are we going to play to try to enjoy this?
I don't think we would have even had it in us to cope about Mike McCarthy. I think we'd just been like, well, that happened. And it was funny because there was a tiny bit of cope on that episode. Because, yeah. I mean, this is a Bears podcast. You got to do some coping. And I do remember, I can't remember if you said it on the podcast, I guess, or if you and I just said this to each other, where you were like, my hope, and this is probably just cope, is that the reason that this search is going on forever and they're interviewing everyone and their mother is that they already know they want Ben Johnson. They're just waiting for them to be able to announce it after the Lions lose, which they don't expect for a while. I think the cope was right. I think that cut to the... It sounds like pretty early in the process, Ben Johnson, I mean, as early in the process as last fucking year when they should have done this,
yes.
Ben Johnson knew he wanted the Bears job. And Ryan Poles knew pretty early in this process that he wanted Ben Johnson. And it does sound like all of the interviews, all of this was to just kind of give this... You know, they want to be able to say we cast as wide a net as possible. We were as thorough as possible. We left no stone unturned. We didn't just zero in on our number one guy. We made sure we made the right decision. But I think in reality what they did is they zeroed in on the number one guy. And I still think they made the right decision. And this could be the wrong decision, but it would be the wrong decision for the right reasons. Like, this could not work. The outcome could be bad, but this is the first coaching search of our lifetime. I think it's fair to say that the first coaching search of our lifetime.
No, it's fair. Yes,
where I feel that the process was justified, that the goal they were aiming for was justified, because we know, we've talked about it before. The Matt Eberflus hiring was so flawed from the start, because when they talked about it, it was clear that the number one thing they were trying to do was get back to the Lovie Smith era of Bears football, which was mind-boggling to you and I guess, to people who, we don't look back on that as a golden age, even though it was the only competent Bears football era of our lifetimes, really. We don't look back on that as a golden age, because we still remember very clearly how flawed that philosophy was then, how it kept coming up short then. And so any coaching search where that was the goal was always doomed to mediocrity, and we got less than mediocrity. We got Eberflus, who I think is worse than Mark. I think we put him down as worse than Mark Trestman, right? By winning percentage, he is right.
That might just have to be something we rank later this offseason.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But even before that, I mean, and then Matt Nagy. I think that was probably the best process behind a hire. Up until now, because I do think, at least in the case of Nagy, Ryan Pace, he knew he wanted an offensive guy. He wanted a guy that could mold his young quarterback. He had the right idea, but I still don't think that process was as sound, because there's a lot about Matt Nagy that was not as comforting as a candidate is about Ben Johnson. You know, we'll talk about Ben Johnson here in a little bit, but like, Matt Nagy had only called plays for 6 games.
Yeah.
Before he was hired to be your offensive guru. And then the last time before Matt Nagy that they had tried to hire an offensive guru, they imported one from Canada, which literally broke your brain.
It hurt me deeply.
Somewhere personally. In the...
They had an offensive guru in the States. He just won Coach of the Year. He was right there. Yeah. And they were like, fuck it, man. Let's zag.
Yeah, I think that's where the Ben Johnson hire is it was the obvious move, right? It was the obvious move from the beginning. It just made too much sense. He was obviously the best candidate. He was exactly everything that they need in the areas where they are most efficient and where, and for the task that they need to recognize is the task at hand, which is developing Caleb Williams. Mm. Ben Johnson was so obviously the right hire. I don't know that there was an obvious hire at the time that they hired Matt Eberflus. We just knew it wasn't Matt Eberflus. I think I wanted Brian Daboll, but again, there wasn't that slam dunk candidate.
There wasn't an obvious hire in the group of guys the Bears were looking at, but they picked from a very strange bucket of potential hires.
I mean, if you look back, that 2022 head coaching class has not been ideal, other than Kevin O'Connell, really.
Was it Mike McDaniel?
Yeah, I mean, in that group. Yeah. I guess Mike McDaniel that great? We can have that discussion later.
I guess we could. His defenses aren't good, but the stuff he takes care of is pretty decent.
But I mean, and there's a little bit of either way. There's a little bit of retconning there too, because I don't remember Mike McDaniel being considered the can't miss coaching. So again, this is the first time really since Bruce Arians where there was an obvious move. The guy that you knew the Bears had to make was right there. And with Bruce Arians, they whiffed. They didn't do it. But this is the case. They got Ben Johnson. People started connecting those dots last year. It just always made so much sense. And that's exactly why you didn't believe they'd do it, because we've been here before. And the Bears have consistently failed as an organization when entering a coaching search to even start with the right goal in mind. Yeah. They don't ever look at their – because the task at hand, like I said, it's – of course you want to win a Super Bowl. Of course you want to build a winner. Of course you want to lead your men, blah, 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 all that bullshit they say. Anyone in that room that has any common sense says, we're not going anywhere unless Caleb Williams takes us there. Caleb Williams isn't going to take us there unless we get him the coach that can unlock all of the stuff he can do. Normal, competent organizations, that's how they approach these fucking coaching searches. That's just what you, when you have that quarterback, that's what you do. The Bears have not done that before. In fact, when they hired Matt Eberflus, they seemed almost hostile to the idea of Justin Fields having any influence on that decision at all. Yeah. When they were asked about Justin Fields, their answers are basically, he's got to earn his spot on the roster just like everyone else. He hasn't earned the right to be, after 1 year, to be the guy that we build this thing around, blah, blah, blah. Which is just ass backwards. I get where you're coming from in terms of this second year player shouldn't be making these calls, but as an organization, if you don't have a quarterback and if you don't build around that quarterback, you're not fucking going anywhere. So for them to approach this and to know that Ben Johnson took this job for one reason, and it's been pretty fucking clear about it. Ben Johnson wanted this job last year. He wanted this job this year because Ben Johnson wants to coach Caleb Williams. So even though we hated last year that they didn't take the opportunity to sync everything up, this is as close to synced as it can get, because Ben Johnson wasn't in the room when they picked Caleb Williams, but Ben Johnson wanted this job last year so he could pick Caleb Williams. He wanted this job this year so he can coach Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is his guy. And just like he said in his press conference, it was very good. He said, we're going to tear this thing. We're not going to just import the playbook from Detroit. We are going to tear this thing down to the studs, and we will build everything around what Caleb Williams can do. That is how we will go. We'll build it around him, and then we'll build it around the guys around him. So I mean,
the issue that we've had previously is not necessarily that we've been hiring people out of order, that we've been drafting quarterbacks and saddling a coach in a lame duck year with the quarterback we've drafted. It's been that none of those people are on the same page, and most of them don't want to be doing what they're doing with the other party, right? Like Nagy doesn't want Trubisky, or like Eberflus doesn't really want Justin Fields, that kind of thing. In this case, we know Ben Johnson really wanted to coach Caleb Williams. We talked about it earlier this season when that information came out about how Ben Johnson wanted to coach the Bears last year. This was the job he wanted. He thought he was going to get it, but they never fired Eberflus. We talked about how that was like definitely Ben Johnson's camp going backdoor and being like, hey, Bears, if you fire your coach, your team.
You can still get this right. You get a mulligan. Yep. You don't usually get a mulligan on these kind of fuck-ups, but you get a mulligan here.
That's right. You know, so we know those two people are coordinated. But what I was also going to say was there was a lot of chafe during this entire process. We were hearing stories about how Kevin Warren really doesn't want Ben Johnson. But then another person would say Poles really doesn't want Ben Johnson. And Kevin Warren really, really wants to force him into it. And people would be like, George wants this guy. George wants this guy. And it was all over the map. Like, none of the information seemed to be lining up. Once this hire was made, everybody agrees Poles was not the issue. It seems like Poles and Ben Johnson get along really well. But Ben Johnson wanted assurances that Kevin Warren and George McCaskey would not be involved. And I guess he just went straight to George and said, like, you can't put your hands in this. I'll be the head coach of your team, but I can't have ownership or the president meddling. And that was that. I guess he got those assurances. So it's good to know that also the GM and the head coach seem to be kind of lined up.
And most importantly, it sounds like he wanted George McCaskey. He didn't just want George McCaskey to promise he'd stay out of it. He wanted a mea culpa from George McCaskey. He wanted George to own, like, apparently he went to George and he's like, what do you think as an organization you guys keep fucking up? Like, what do you think you get wrong? And how do I get guarantees that you're not going to keep doing this? So he got into some humility. And I'll say this about George McCaskey. He is one winner away from being seen as a good NFL owner. Because the thing about the McCaskeys, and we've talked about this before, they really don't interfere to the point where they let terrible coaches stick around too long. They let bad GMs stick around too long because they are so reluctant to step in and get involved in football operations, which if you have the coach and if you have the GM and you have the quarterback and you start to, you know, people don't, do you remember anyone ever talking about the Hunts as a great ownership team in Kansas City before Patrick Mahomes came along? I don't remember anybody ever praising the Hunt family, but when you get those three positions aligned and you start winning games and the owner just stays the fuck out of the way, that's good ownership in the NFL. So I do trust that, like, if they finally got this right, and good Lord knows they managed to get, like I said, they got a freaking mulligan on this. Ben Johnson basically did it himself. Ben Johnson got himself this job, waited for this job, made sure this job came available, and got himself the job. But if they've gotten this right, you know, George McCaskey will go down as will be considered a good owner because of how little he interferes in football operations. But it's very comforting to know Ben Johnson really came prepared in so many ways. He wanted to know, he wanted the right assurances. He wanted the right alignment. He's coming here very specifically for Caleb Williams. Obviously, this is not going to be a situation, hopefully, like Nagy and Trubisky, where Nagy was willing to tolerate Trubisky to get the job. But he did not. He was never a guy who wanted Mitch Trubisky, and was very quick to turn on Mitch when he could, or when things got dicey. This is a guy, and it's not a guy, Matt Eberflus, who really has no tie to the quarterback or any tie to the quarterback position at all. This is a guy who's here for Caleb Williams and knows his success is Caleb Williams' success. They'll be tied at the hip. The offense will be built around what Caleb Williams can do right. That is encouraging. Encouraging to hear Ben Johnson in his press conference talk about how, you know, this is a quarterback-driven league. And he mentioned specifically referenced quarterback's, like, success rate. He's like, success rate, quarterback success rate has become a bigger indicator of winning than turnover margin, which had been the biggest indicator for 20 years. That's how much things have changed. So that sentence right there to have a head coach reference quarterback winning or quarterback success rate in a press conference, talk about the correlation to winning. This is a guy with an analytics background that we also know can scheme it up as good as anybody in the NFL, setting frickin' records for scoring. Again, this could go wrong because anything can go wrong, but this is the one time that the process, everything that led to the hire was the right decision. And if it goes wrong, that's just going to be because shit happens. And we will just officially have to accept that there is no fucking way out of this chasm. We are doomed to lie there forever. But
yeah,
they didn't fuck it up. We were fully last week. You could listen to it. We were so prepared. We were so prepared to be there again, but here they didn't fuck it up.
Yeah. I mean, if we go back to, like, the original Scottcast, we said something back then, which haunted us until the extended hiatus from that podcast to this one. And it was about Phil Emery. And we were just so tickled that we got Phil Emery. We were like an analytics-based guy. You know, this guy says all the right things. And we were just like, man, if this fails, oh, that's going to suck. It's going to be like a huge gut punch. Like, I'm not even going to want to watch football. I'm going to be like questioning my own understanding of the game. And we laughed about it. And then, you know, 2 years later, we were like, oh, great. Yeah, I don't really want to watch football now.
We know the Bears. We say, yeah, we were specifically talking about Phil Emery and how he uses analytics and Mark Trestman's philosophy, which was offensive in nature. And we were like, they say the right things. And they seem to have the right macro picture of what the NFL is and what the NFL is becoming. But they could still botch the execution. And if this doesn't work, we know the Bears will take all of the wrong lessons from it. They will dive right back into what is familiar. They'll get some. I think I might have even name dropped John Fox. I was like, they'll
get
some.
It may have been John Fox.
I was like, they'll get some milk toast John Fox like guy, and we'll go right back to what we've always been, and it'll be miserable. The next decade will be wasted.
Yeah.
Here we are. It's 10 fucking years later.
This is the same situation. I'm going to say the same thing. This is the best offensive coach in the league. He's had the best offense in the NFL the last 2 years. It's something that should work. Like, there shouldn't be a way for this to fail. The defensive coordinator he's bringing in is Dennis freaking Allen, like a great defensive mind. He's bringing over the Lions offensive line coach, it sounds like, to be the offensive coordinator. Like, it seems great. It feels perfect right now. Boy, if this fails and we hire Mike McCarthy in 3 years or something, like, yeah, that's going to be like a real, real punch right to the dick for me. So that's where my Bears brain went. The other place my Bears brain went, Kyle, before we really dive into this thing, like 20 minutes before the Bears announced they had signed Ben Johnson, we got that little blurb from the Raiders that was like, we are prepared to make a very substantial offer to Ben Johnson. And I was like, okay, I recognize that. That right there is a team that is lying to its fan base about how hard they tried to get a guy. Well, we were this close, right? But in my brain, when Ben Johnson was announced as our head coach, all I could think of was Dave McInnes. It's Dave McInnes, right? And like, the Bears are just coming out, they're announcing it ahead of time, and he's gonna be in Jacksonville signing with the Jaguars in an hour.
Okay, well, first of all, we are gonna talk about the Jags in a little bit, because that is, oh my God. Yeah, no, I mean, once Schefter announced it, I really wasn't worried, because Schefter doesn't whiff on something that big.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I to me, it was very interesting that people really, I never bought the Raiders smoke, not for one second. Now, did I think the Jags were a threat? Yes, just because Shad Khan has got that money. Mm-hmm. Did I think Ben Johnson might sit it out again? I don't know, but I did not ever buy the Raiders smoke, because I just can't buy that this guy who turned down the Commanders, who turned down a couple of other situations, would choose the Raiders situation, which is as messy and purgatory as a football team gets. Because here's the thing about the Bears. This was, in my opinion, still the most attractive job opening, just because you have Caleb Williams that I believe in, you have Roma Dunze, you have DJ Moore. You know, there are pieces still on that defense. There are pieces still on that defense, and you have got almost $70 million in cap room, and you have three top 40 picks. I mean, it might not work. The plan might not work, but you can draw the dots 1, 2, 3 as to how the Bears get good again. It's not hard to picture.
Yeah.
It's not hard to do. It's not that, it doesn't even feel that far away for a competent coach. I don't even know, like, we play armchair GM all the time. I don't know what the fuck I would do if you gave me the Raiders GM job tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know where to begin. I'd be
Can
like,
you imagine that press conference? Like, okay, yeah, what's your plan? Why do we have Brock Bowers? Why is that what we have on this team?
You have no path to a quarterback. You don't really even have enough pieces to sell off and fuel a teardown. You don't, like, what do you do? You're in that
you trade
division with that
you
quarterback.
You trade Crosby, right? You have to trade him for, like, the first overall pick.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know. Yeah, so I don't know. I never bought that Ben Johnson to the Raiders was a realistic possibility. But I didn't know that I bought Ben Johnson to the Bears as a realistic possibility, because I've been hurt too goddamn many times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, again, this could, it might not work, but you can, like I said, just with the Bears, you can see how this falls together. It's not hard to picture. It's not hard to see parallels in other teams in history from where the Bears are right now. You have a cat that is that cat is excited about Ben
fucking
Johnson.
Cat party.
Folks,
right now.
If you haven't picked him up on the background audio of this podcast before, Travis lives with a fucking menagerie. There are a lot of animals. There are five cats and two dogs in that house at all times. So he is swarming with animals. It's amazing.
I wasn't here today either. I worked in the office today and they got lonely, I'm sure. So now they're just freaking out.
Yeah, no. So let's, okay. So we're excited about Ben Johnson. We're excited about him. I'm excited about what Ben Johnson can do schematically. I found a weird comment from some people who were like, Caleb Williams was the second worst quarterback in the NFL or whatever, blah, blah, off play action this year. It seems like a weird fit with Ben Johnson and all the play action he does. What? That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, if a quarterback struggled in play action this year, I feel like hiring the guy who ran the most effective play action offense in the NFL is exactly what you should do. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want the Bears to just be like, well, I guess play action is just never a thing Caleb Williams is going to do. Let's abandon it forever. Is that what you think the game plan should be? You don't want them to coach up this kid's deficiencies? And also, the Bears used play action far less than most other teams in the league. And as we said, as we have seemingly said, going back to Nagy, the Bears play action pass concepts made no sense with their run game. As usual, the run game was a bizarre freaking hodgepodge of concepts that did not work with their pass concepts, and it also left them with so many freaking protection issues in their play action concepts. The thing about Ben Johnson, the whole beauty of what makes his scheme work the same way it works Kyle Shanahan's work scheme work, although they're not the same scheme, but this is some commonalities. Everything sets up something else. They're all married together. The looks are married together. The play action actually looks like one of their runs. That's why he gets those wide open throwing windows. That's why he's able to do all that stuff with Jared Goff. So he's the perfect fit for Caleb Williams. This is a guy, you know, Caleb Williams is going to do off schedule playmaking no matter who his coach is. You don't need a coach to maximize a guy's improvisational ability. If you have a guy who maybe is a tick slow in structure, and I don't believe Caleb will ultimately be, if he trusts the situation around him. I don't think Caleb will be hesitant like that. But again, if you have a guy that maybe struggles sometimes in these situations, then the number one thing you do is give him easy answers. And that's what Ben Johnson's offense is. It is filled with easy answers.
Yeah, I imagine these are the same sorts of people who said the opposite about Mitch Trubisky. Like, well, just run play action every play. Yeah, he's good at it. Just do play action, man, 40 times a game.
Only run the offense out of the things he's good at already. Don't dare ask a quarterback.
Three plays in your playbook, buddy. Yep. That's what you got to do. Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is a fantastic match. And I mean, the most obvious counterpoint to that is, if that were the case, why did Ben Johnson sign here just to coach that guy?
Right.
Why has he been fiending for this quarterback for, I mean, at a minimum 2 years? Maybe he was looking at him at USC and he's like, oh, that fucking guy, I want to coach that guy. I don't know, but he clearly wanted to coach Caleb Williams.
You think Ben Johnson doesn't have some ideas about who fits his scheme? Like, you think this guy was this picky about jobs over these last two cycles?
He said no to Trevor Lawrence. He said no to Jaden Daniels. He said no, like, what more evidence do you need that this is the guy he wants, right? He had options along those lines. He's already coaching Jared Goff. He wants to coach Caleb Williams. I don't think the fit is going to be an issue here.
You don't just lean into what Caleb Williams is already good at. Like I said, the improvisational stuff, the off-schedule stuff, that's going to stay no matter what. That's just part of Caleb Williams. But you can't build a whole offense around that. You have to coach up the things that he struggled with. And some of it, I don't know that I would say he struggled with so much as the structure around him just did not enable him to thrive in it. But and another thing, I thought Ben Johnson was pretty he took a fairly decent shot, I feel like, at Chris Morgan in his presser. He said something about it. He's like, well, offensive linemen need to be coached into success. They need to be put in successful positions. You need to have answers and protection, basically. It really felt like he was calling out the same stuff we were calling out all year long, where it was like the Bears just didn't have answers for blitzes. They didn't have answers in protection scheme. And that's something that really is the hallmark. Did you have a dog run into a pole or something? What is going on in there?
The cats ran across the piano. They're having a great time.
They're wound up. They are jacked up.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, no, with offensive linemen, we talked about this way early in the year when I got kind of desperate about the offensive line, but when you're an offensive lineman and maybe you lose track of a player, there are too many audibles, there's a hot route, maybe you don't really understand what's happening on the defense, you like to be able to fall back into the concept of how you play offensive line. It should all kind of flow. You should be like, all right, if I'm lost, I can at least fall back to the basic concepts that have been drilled into me, which are the same on every single play that we run. And with Waldron, he didn't have that core philosophy. What I saw and read about with people talking about his blocking schemes was that it was just every blocking scheme. It was basically the Madden playbook of blocking schemes. Just every play had a different scheme. And each of those schemes had like different places you could go, depending on if they were blitzing, how many people were in your area, and all of those things. When you don't have one core tenet to fall back on, like, okay, if all else fails and I'm not really sure what's going on here, I block this way. So that's what I'm going to do. And you're probably going to be right. Things get tricky. And that's what happened. It's just, you know, stunts happen to the Bears. And when guys got lost and they weren't sure what to do on that particular play, they didn't have that core philosophy to fall back on. And especially for a guy like Tevin Jenkins or a guy like Braxton Jones, guys who have had that like throughout somewhat tumultuous first couple years of their career, it just completely broke them this year, you know? And that's why we had that kind of dead cat bounce with Brown there when he took over as offensive coordinator, because he just simplified everything down. He said, you are blocking here. That's it, period. And, you know, that like that frees up an offensive lineman to do so much. And, yeah, we ended up getting crushed towards the end of the year because it was just too simple. That's not sustainable over the long term, and I think everybody kind of knew that. But thank God we've seen essentially what you get with a Ben Johnson offensive line. Plus, we're stealing their fucking offensive line coach too, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, if we get Hank Fraley, I mean, that's a coup. It's funny, I've seen Lions fans say, you know, well, he doesn't get to take the Lions offensive line with him. And I mean, that's true, obviously. Yeah. And the Lions obviously have a fantastic offensive line. But one, I have heard there's a good chance they might sign Kevin Zeitler. So there's one of your guys anyways. But the Bears do have two talented tackles as well. I mean, Darnell Wright, one of the guys that he frequently drew comps to in the draft process was Penei Sewell, and Darnell Wright has been very solid through 2 years with abysmal coaching and in two schemes that just were abysmal protection wise. So I don't know that you get a guy like Hank Fraley who has helped Penei Sewell become what he is. He could do that with Darnell Wright. We believe in Braxton Jones still. He's very solid when healthy, and then, you know, there are rumors already tying the Bears to Trey Smith as well. So, I mean, you put a Trey Smith on that interior offensive line. You know, maybe sign a 1-year deal for a guy like Kevin Zeitler. You draft a couple guys to develop behind them. Well, you're getting something pretty close already. And then you get, you know, you bring that coaching staff and you tie your pass pro to your pass concepts. You tie your play action concepts to your run concepts. That is what makes this whole thing work. The Bears have really just been so disjointed in this. Really just going back to at least the Nagy era, because Nagy came in with Harry Highstand as his offensive line coach, but those two really didn't have any background together. And then, you know, there was a weird pairing with Mark Helfrich, and then all of a sudden it's Bill Lazor. They're always meshing these offensive line coaches with offensive coordinators, with schemes that don't really go together, with run games that aren't tied to the pass game or the play action pass game. Ben Johnson is the whole package. Yeah. This is, you look at the Lions offense, the number one thing that stands out to you is continuity in looks and all of it's tied together. And they always keep you off balance because you're looking at them the way they're lined up, and there could be four different things that are coming at you from that one formation. and you never know which one it's going to be till it's too late.
Yeah, the last time we had that kind of cohesion was Nagy's first year, and we have since learned it's because it wasn't really Nagy's offense. So ever since then, it's basically been, you know, the Madden playbook, kind of what we made fun of Mike Tice for so long. Like, he's just picking plays at random, you know, and that's kind of what the Bears have been doing. They're just random offensive coordinators plugged in to fill a hole with other people who are already there, other head coaches. We've already got position coaches. We're only going to replace the one guy. There's not a full buy-in. They don't have the personnel they need. You got to hope that Ben Johnson could just come in here, and especially for the fat stacks of cash that he's making, which we have to talk about, he's got to be able to rework this and actually have everybody working under his vision.
Yeah,
yeah, let's talk about that money,
Kyle. Well, hold on, just one second. And you have to hope with Ben Johnson and with the premium that he puts in the offensive line, this is a guy who's finally going to have to force Ryan Poles to get serious and make serious investments there,
yes.
Which Poles has been kind of loath to do every year. We're like, all right, surely they're signing this guard and this center in free agency, and then nothing happens. This is the year where I would expect that to change. But yeah, though the Bears are paying, the contract's still being rumored. I don't know that anyone's ever announced the actual figures. But the one thing everyone agrees on is that he's going to be one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL. I think you and I are both wondering, where did that money come from? How are they funding this? How are the McCaskies that we know paying Ben Johnson money?
Yeah, I sent you that. I was like, my God, it sounds like it might be as close to $15 million a year. It sounds like between 13 and 15, sounds like 6 years. We don't have the exact figures here. I'm going to post this and it'll come up right after that and just shit all over me. But it's in that range. And Kyle, when we were talking about this, we were like, God, the Jaguars could offer like 10 years, $10 million per or something like that. Wouldn't that be crazy? And here the Bears coming out like more than that per year. Yeah, like maybe as high as $15 million per year. And what the thing we had said was, the difference here is not going to be, does Ben Johnson want to coach the Bears? Because everything seemed like, yes, Ben Johnson wants the Bears want Ben Johnson. It's going to be, can Kevin Warren get in George McCaskey's ear enough and convince him that it's time to open the pocketbook and pay a coach? And he did it.
Well, and if he's able to open the pocketbook to that extent, my conspiracy theory there is that Kevin Warren's pretty confident that they are actually getting started on that stadium soon.
Yes.
That man is confident that cash flows are going to increase soon and was able to convince George of that.
He ran the numbers. There was a presentation involved, I'm sure. He's like, this is how much we're going to make. Look at what happens when you open a new stadium and you're a great team like the Rams, versus when you open a new stadium and you're not a great team, right? Like, I'm hoping that's what he did. He got in there. Kevin Warren is like the pitch master.
Yeah,
that's like his trait. That is pretty well known.
Yeah, and I guess we have to put up with Kevin Warren's self aggrandizing for a little bit, because
Kevin Warren,
we did
loves
say last
him
week that
him.
If they fucked up this coaching search, we never wanted to hear a damn thing about how great Kevin Warren is again. Yeah. They didn't fuck up the coaching search. They landed the big fish. I think we have to let Kevin Warren talk his shit for a little bit. We have to deal with yet another puff piece about how he wakes up at 2 a.m. and just starts shitting gold bricks.
So,
we have to deal with that with Kevin Warren. Honestly, I'm running out of things to say here about this. It's a slam dunk. It's as close as a slam dunk gets. The staff that he's allegedly assembling, really, I mean, Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator is fantastic. The best thing about Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator, too, is it's kind of like a Spags situation, where if he is successful and you have one of the league's best defenses, you get to keep him for forever, probably, because no one's going to give that man a third head coaching job.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah,
this is a Josh McDaniel hire, just like the Patriots got Josh McDaniel, and they're like, we have a good offensive coordinator for 20 years if we need him.
Yeah, the Patriots doing that makes me wonder, like, I think they'll probably be okay because I'm still a Drake May believer, but if not, the Patriots definitely seem like they could be heading down a very McCaskey-ish path, where all they cannot think outside of the lens of their glory days.
Oh, very
true. So the only answer they have is to go back. They have to go back to what worked before. So it's got to be Mike Vrabel. It's got to be Josh McDaniels. Everyone they bring in has to be a former Patriot, has to do this.
And I love that somehow every time Josh McDaniel fails, the Patriots will just take him back as offensive coordinator. It's incredible.
Yeah. And you know, and as we saw with the Bears, like that kind of thinking over time really gets you in trouble if you get caught too hard to get stuck in the past. But yeah, no, I mean, that would be the great thing about Dennis Allen is if he's here, he's here. You know, you don't have to worry about your defensive coordinator getting poached. And also, really, honestly,
his defenses are fun. If you're stuck with Dennis Allen for a decade, he loves to have a fun defense, an attacking defense.
Absolutely. He can do great stuff there. Well, and then with Ben Johnson as your head coach and play caller, you don't get too worried about brain drain on the offensive side either. You know, it's kind of like Sean McVay, where Sean McVay has lost. He's lost Kevin O'Connell. He's lost all these guys. He's lost Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel, I guess, was on the Shanahan staff. But same with Shanahan. Those guys lose their assistants all the time, and they don't suffer the brain drain because they are the guys. That's the what? All right, the cats need to fucking
settle down. I muted my mic.
Cats need to fucking settle down.
They're fucking running around in a circle.
They are getting Travis's sons. They have been riled by the good word of the Lord, and they are rowdy.
I've never seen the like.
Incredible.
My God.
But no, I think that's about all I got to say about Ben Johnson. Obviously, I'm excited. We'll probably maybe later in the offseason, I'm going to start tearing into the actual concept. We'll start maybe try to get a little more nuanced, a little more about specifically what his scheme is, what it does, why we think it's going to be great for Caleb. I am sure Ben is already going to sleep at night, just going absolutely sicko mode, drawing up play action boots to take advantage of Caleb's athleticism and ability to throw on the run. That's obviously something that's not really been in the Jared Goff version of his playbook. So I'm sure he's excited about that. As we talk about the Bears' successful coaching search, where everything, despite all of our negative thoughts, everything worked out exactly as it should. Should we talk about the Jaguars, who might be running the worst coaching search in the history of the NFL?
It's absolutely incredible.
I got that notification today on my phone, the ESPN notification, that the Jaguars fired Trent Baalke. And I laughed out loud at my office because I was like, now? You do this now?
You like, shot me that text message like the Jaguars fired Baalke now, and I was like, there's no way. No way. That must be a joke. And nope, Liam Cohen turned him down, and apparently that is what got Shad Khan to be like, wait, is
people
nobody
like
gonna
Trent
coach
Baalke?
Here because Trent Baalke is here?
Yeah, because I mean the thing about Trent Baalke is it's not just that he's a bad general manager. Like, some coaches will take a chance on a bad general manager because they believe in themselves. It's that Trent Baalke has proven that he is a cockroach who will survive every nuclear explosion, and he will always make sure that his coach gets the blame.
He is a rat fuck.
You should never take a job for that man.
Yeah. There's almost no head coaching tree that exists in the NFL today with anybody in it who you'd want. Who Trent Baalke hasn't pissed off somehow is the problem. Like, Trent Baalke has made everybody and everybody's disciples hate him. Like, who's left? Who could you hire for that job? Like, they had an interview, and they may still hire him, but the interview they've got that actually came in for the second interview is Robert Saleh. And there's a guy who's like, that's who you're looking at, right? If you have Trent Baalke at GM, it's a guy who's trying to get his last shot. Like, okay, whatever, if I get fired here, who cares, right? This is my last chance. I may not get another one. I better go out and try it. I guess the idea is without Trent Baalke, maybe you could actually get one of these guys, but, like, is that true? Have they already screwed this up so bad it doesn't matter?
It's almost February, and now you're looking for a GM. Who are you telling these head coaching candidates their GM is going to be? Yeah. What head coaching candidate's going to take the job without a GM in place? Are you then going to give a first-time head coach a say in who their own boss is going to be? Like, if you like Liam Cohen, if you somehow manage to convince him to come back, you know, someone did tweet that Liam Cohen had not actually signed the dotted line on that extension with the Bucks yet. But, like, are you going to let Liam Cohen, a first-time head coach, pick his own GM? Like, it's just, it's insane. And it's really hard not to look at the Jaguars situation versus the Bears situation and just really be, because we've been there, man. We have been there. Yeah. So just one of those things where it's like, there, but for the grace of God, go the Bears. So
goes Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Into the fucking sunset.
Yeah. Poor Trevor, man. That's ugh. So, I mean, I guess their hope at this point is maybe they get like a Joe Brady or maybe a Todd Monken. I don't know. It's grim stuff.
Monken feels like a guy who would have like some GM friend who he would want to go, you know, coach the Jaguars with. I could see that. I could see that with Monken. But like, one gets the feeling, right? Because this happened like right after Liam Cohen just said, "I'm not. This is a joke. You're a clown. This is a joke, and I quit." Which is a reference to a different con. We'll see if anybody gets that. But yeah, you get the sense that he literally told Shad, "I would never work for Trent Baalke in my life," right? And so Shad said, "Wait a minute. That's a wild thing for someone to say." And then maybe he Googled Trent Baalke for the first time in his life, and he was like, "What? Everybody hates this guy." And then he fired him. I'd like to think that he immediately called Liam Cohen back and was like, "Okay, well, we fired him. How about now?"
Yeah, how about now?
Yeah. And Liam was just like, "I am terrified of you." That's the end of that conversation.
"Liam, we just fired our GM. So we're not dysfunctional anymore."
That's right. "We did it for you. We did it for you, Liam.
We did it for I did it for you, Damien. It's all for you."
Liam's just like, "I'm 39. Like, I coached a 10-7 team last year."
Well, and I wonder if Ben Johnson's going to be an example for some of these highly touted coordinators where it's like, yeah, you know what? Don't just take the first job. Make sure you think about what your quarterback and GM situation is. And if you got to wait, just wait. Just show confidence in your ability to coordinate a good offense next year.
Like, because we talked about Josh McDaniels. And McDaniels, I feel, is the first guy to do this, right? He was going to take the Colts job, and then he was like, "No, this job sucks." And he didn't. And Belichick backed him, and he was like, he's not going to get another chance. He gets one more head coaching job, and he was right about that. Yep. But then he jumped on the Raiders, and we all knew that was a bad idea. So like, yeah, if you're Liam Cohen, you're like, "I can't do the Josh McDaniels. We wait for a good job."
I still believe the conspiracy theory that the reason McDaniels took the Raiders job was because they thought they had a good chance of actually luring Tom Brady out of retirement to take the Raiders job.
That's probably
the Raiders quarterback. That was always my conspiracy theory. And then once that didn't happen, they had no plan and they didn't want to keep Josh McDaniels around anymore.
Poor
he was
Josh.
Brought there specifically to be Brady bait, kind of like the Broncos hired Hackett to lure Aaron Rodgers there, right? And then it didn't work out. So then they were just stuck with Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett, which was a terrible pairing. So,
but yeah, I have no answers for who would want to coach Jacksonville Jaguars. I have no answers for who would want to coach the Raiders. Like you said, the Raiders are just they're in hell. Right.
Meanwhile,
there's nothing
like
you can do.
It sounds like the Cowboys might be hiring the final boss of nepotism, Brian Schottenheimer.
There's no
so
way that happens.
That's
there's
it's
no
the
way.
Ultimate example of failing up in NFL history.
Kyle, like, Brian Schottenheimer might have been shit on this podcast for longer than any other person in the history of the Scottcast.
We were shitting on Shoddy in Scottcast version 1.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
Scottcast Prime. Yeah. We were like, "Brian Schottenheimer sucks."
Yeah, that guy, yeah. If that guy's last name was anything other than Schottenheimer, he wouldn't even have this job. And here he is, still getting jobs while not being good at any of them. But he just keeps failing up. He might get the Dallas Cowboys head coaching job just by being there.
Yeah, I mean, other coaching news, the Detroit Lions have lost their entire coaching staff at this point.
Yeah.
Really feels like that window slammed shut. Jaden Daniels slammed it.
Yeah, the Lions fans, they're taking things really well.
Yeah, they're fine.
I didn't see, you know, it was really funny. Someone was like, the way Lions fans are acting, it's like, what, have they never lost a coordinator to another team before? They hadn't. This is the first time that a Lions... This is the first time that a Lions coordinator has been poached for a head coaching job since JFK was president, is what
Holy
someone
shit.
Discovered. Now, do you know who the Lions assistant was that was poached during the JFK administration, Travis?
Oh my God. No, I have no idea. Was it?
It was Don Shula.
No shit.
Yeah, so hopefully there's an omen there. The last time someone was actually poached off a Detroit Lions coaching staff, he went on to become the winningest head coach in NFL history. So maybe we'll be lucky. And that's what Aaron Glenn will do with the Jets. So
good luck, Aaron.
You know, the Ben Johnson hype I obviously always got. I don't understand why Aaron Glenn was such a highly touted coaching candidate. This year was the first year that I would say their defense was even kind of good, and it was good in that extremely fluky way that you don't see as sustainable anyways, where the yardage and the yards per play aren't very good, but they get, you know, a lot of turnovers. And that team always regresses next year. I've not seen anything from Aaron Glenn that really makes me think like, oh, this guy's an elite mind. He's going to be a great head coach, but you know, that's the Jets' problem.
That's true. That's true. We can always make fun of the Jets. Right.
And so what's
they
the lost Bears that. Problem.
They're going to lose Hank Fraley one way or the other. Might be to the Bears, might be to the Seahawks. He's going to be an offensive coordinator somewhere, it seems like. They're losing everybody. The Lions said they had a plan, but I think Fraley was the plan at offensive coordinator.
I think that almost says something too. If Fraley chooses to follow Ben Johnson rather than staying and keeping the job in Detroit, like that, I feel like that's a huge vote of confidence in Ben Johnson too. So
feels good. Feels good to put the Lions back in their place. Feels good for the Bears to be off season champions yet again.
I say they were just 15-2. Let's not let's not spike the football too early on the line.
No. Yet, right now is when we spike the football because it hurts the most the poor Lions fans. Right, we can't spike the football in a week. They'll be fine by then. They'll be like, yeah, we were 15-2. Right now, they're like, oh, we're never gonna win another game. This is it.
Yeah, that was brutal. So anyways, I think that's all I got for now, man. This is the first good Bears news in months that has restored my flagging spirits. And I guess we'll do what we do best around these parts. We'll dive into talking about the draft and free agency with clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
That's right. Is next week the week where I get you to talk about what went wrong with Jaden Daniels, or do you need a few more weeks to think about it?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I'm actually not unwilling to talk about what went wrong with Jaden.
Neither am I. I mean, here's the deal.
I haven't quite figured out what it was. Like, what?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what is there something in the data that indicated why he wasn't like the guys that he's so closely compared to statistically, why he isn't another Marcus Mariota, why he isn't, you know, another Jaden, or why he isn't another Justin Fields. Like, what is it about? I don't know that there is an answer in the numbers. Sometimes you just got to hand it to the old timey football scouts who just looked at Jaden Daniels, like, he's got that dog in him, you know, and be like, they were right.
We got Josh Allen.
He's got that dog in him. So he is the outlier. So I don't have a problem admitting that. I don't have a problem admitting I was wrong. I'm happy I was wrong. I mean, Washington fans deserve that. Like, you guys have been miserable. You had to endure. It's been 20 years. You had to endure Dan Snyder. Like, good for you guys. That's great. Thank you for knocking the Lions out of the playoffs and giving us our Ben Johnson news early. But no, I mean, I'm not really ready to do a whole episode on what I got wrong with Jaden Daniels, because I'm still trying to figure out if there is something. Because when, you know, with Josh Allen, like I said,
Jaden Daniels, because there's a lot of stuff that I think over the last 2 years we've kind of compiled a lot of takes on a lot of prospects. Some of them have come very true and I think have reinforced our ideas about positions in the NFL, and some of them have not. And I think they've given me a bit of something else to focus on in those particular position groups. So wouldn't just be about quarterbacks. I know you're kind of the quarterback guy, but there are definitely other dudes who I really want to talk about. Like, hey, I've learned something. Kalijah Kancey, there's a guy I really want to talk about. Dallas Turner, great one to talk about from this last draft. Just, I get horny for defensive linemen, offensive linemen. That's what I would like to talk about.
Yeah, I mean,
we got to talk about Jaden too.
There was so much quarterback talk last year running up to the draft because it was obvious the Bears were going to take a quarterback. We knew which quarterback it was going to be, but still, it was worth looking at all the candidates. This is going to be a very trench-heavy draft season for us because, I mean, the Bears should be targeting beef on both sides of the ball.
One quarterback episode this offseason.
I want to talk about I haven't had time yet to actually put everybody into the spreadsheet yet. I see what the spreadsheet says about our Shadurs and about
I'm curious. The thing is, like, I don't really care about these quarterbacks because I don't think highly of any of them really. But I couldn't tell you where they will fit on the spreadsheet. Yeah. I couldn't tell you. Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, like, they could be all the way at the top, they could be all the way at the bottom, and I would be like, yeah, absolutely.
My initial opinion just from watching Cam Ward is that I just don't like watching Cam Ward. Like, it's one of the things where, like, I can't even put my finger on it, but it's something about the way that that man is just so calm in the pocket that it borders on lackadaisical, where it's just like that man just expects to have an eternity on every down. I'm just like, that it feels like that can't work in the NFL. But
he looks like the lazy version of Michael Penix. On first glance when I watch him, I'm like, I hate this guy. But I haven't watched a lot of Miami games. Like, all right, like that's my first glance. Like, I've literally watched maybe 30 snaps of Cam Ward, so please don't hold me to that, folks. I promise I will watch more Cam Ward.
But yeah, no, we'll see, but we'll start the, I mean, usually though, before we get into draft stuff at all, we start talking about free agency stuff. So we need to look around. We need to look around at the, at the available crops. We need to see where we're at. We need to start drawing up targets. We need to start thinking about who we want, who the Bears should go after.
Thinking about which offensive linemen we should sign. I mean, how many.
But yeah, as you're saying, we're about to enter the good season on Start Kyle Orton, folks. Yeah. We love to be the offseason champions around here. So
that's right. Go Bears. 2025 offseason champions already.
All right.
Spectacular victory.
Repeat offseason champs, baby.
2 years in a row.
Back to back.
All right. See ya.
Later, homies. Go Bears. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago, and people I sure do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.